Good evening, Patriots. You know, today I spent a good part of the day moving seedlings into the next stage of the seed growth, which are little bigger seed containers. I did 130 plants today for the garden. And as I was doing this through the day, just reflecting a lot on the principles of life and really what our real responsibilities are here. Something that simple reminds us, one, of the fragility of life. When you're pulling apart seedlings and you have some intertwining of roots, and it's just the patience it takes. It's not enormous, but it takes the delicacy and the care for something to pull it apart and then to get those separated so they can grow in their own space and get bigger. And it's a real reflection of just those basic things in life that we step away from in this fast-paced world. We are moving in a world where everything seems to be wanting to get faster, more complicated, and farther away from God. And it's being run by people that truly believe that. There are people that believe at this point in time that the next step for humanity is not to root itself deeper with God, but to take its step away from God to become God's. It's a world of where science becomes the religion, and in the temples of technocracy are what the people worship. So it's something that we have to make a choice on. And a lot of where we are right now is all about choices. The type of world that we want versus the type of world that's evolving. And centered to that is going to be more than just faith. It's the fact that faith needs works. And without it, it's dead. And that to me was a lot of the reflection today, because it's one thing to talk about things, to talk about making change. But unless we're actually making the change, unless we're actually doing the change, nothing's going to happen. Taking time to set up a garden is one of those changes. Reducing the dependence on what you purchase and buy at the store, reducing dependence on the corporate food supply system, getting back to where we become more self-sufficient and self-reliant. That's part of sovereignty. And as we each try to reset to that place, each one of us will be gifted with excess in some areas and shortages in others. And I say that as a gift because it's an opportunity for us to share in our excesses to fill other people's needs. And it's there that we start to really be able to build the bridges with our neighbors and build our communities again. We're starting over in such a big way. This is very much like an era of Babylon and the fall of Babylon. And don't kid yourself. Right now, Babylon is falling. The media is not going to let you know that, and the noise and the news is not going to let you know that. But the overt reactions that people are making to defend their institutions, whether it's Major League Baseball leaving Atlanta because they don't like the fact that now there's an accountability to the vote, or whether it's China that's now forcing vaccinations on people because the quotas and the numbers that they wanted to reach are way below what they had hoped for, or whether it's the Chinese representative that was on CNN the other night that openly admitted that they're in a narrow window, that if they don't hurry and get these vaccinations done, there'll be no logic for people to get the vaccination because their freedoms will be returning without them. There's an agenda at play here on a massive level, and the agenda is to move forward with the idea of separating humanity from God and using deception as its major tool. And in so doing, destroying the genes and changing the very nature of what humanity is with a single injection. And they know something bigger is coming. My guess is that what they anticipate and what they know is what the frontline doctors are speaking of right now, which is come fall, there's going to be many casualties from this injection. Many sicknesses, autoimmune disorders and diseases, and probably many deaths. According to some, the genocide that will occur this fall will make anything in the 20th century look like preschool. And if that proves true, and it's not something I wish for, but if that proves true, then we're talking in excess when we accumulate all the wars and the young men and women that were slaughtered in those wars, then we're talking in excess of 100 million people globally that are going to pass because of this vaccine. And according to what the frontline doctors are saying, that's very real. Those numbers are probably low, according to what the scientists are seeing as the potential threat. Perhaps none of that will happen at all. But we are nonetheless racing into a disaster of some capacity. And it's going to take a measure of that sort of disaster to wake a lot of these people up. But that means that when what we're doing can't just rest strictly on prayer. We have to start moving with establishing our faith in God and our works that support that faith. Let me read James 2:14-26. We'll start with 2:14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. We are not going to be able to transform a world without us being active in giving works to our faith, works to the laws of God that we are choosing to follow. And I think on this Easter weekend, it is something to reflect very deeply on, and not just reflect on, but make a decision if that's the path you're going to take. This is an age of accountability. And as we look across at those that are taking the injection, there is an accountability to that they are doing. But that does not exclude us from accountability. If we sit over here simply and say, I'm not taking it, and I pray, and I'm good in faith, not good enough. We have to be living into that world of accountability for what our faith is. And that means we have to be living to give the aid to those that are in need, to love our neighbors as we would want to be loved, and to give voice to those that have no voice. That's an effort. When we take something like a garden, the beauty of the garden is that as we grow things, we then have excess right within our own creations, within our own space. And we can share that excess, as we should. That's what's intended. And therefore, we have an ability to extend a hand. At the YMCA in my town, when it's not being besieged by the governor's rules, but what they have done in the past is that people that have had gardens that have excess just bring their things in and set them on a bench for anybody to take. That's one way of giving. It's actually a really nice way of giving. Other ways are to go directly to your neighbors. However you see fit, the point is that we have to start taking actions and giving works to our faith, because this is the way that we physically fight this war. There are going to be people in dire need. There are people in dire need now. And how do we expect to reach them if all we say is, I pray for you? Some don't want to hear, and that's fine. But the vulnerable populations is where this injection process is targeting. It's targeting those that are fearful. It's targeting those that are that don't have a lot of voice, and those that are afraid to stand on their own. And they're being bullied by those that are wholly committed to obeying the allegiance and giving their allegiance to the tyrannical states. There are many of those. They've given up on God. They have no faith in their life. And if they do, it's fake. Because their obedience ultimately to the state. If the state said for them to push a peanut across the freeway and it would solve COVID, they would do it. That's how obedient these people are. And sadly, they're both liberal and conservative. They don't have a true faith in God. They have no strength in God. They have a strength that goes as far as the pew and no strength that they carry outside the walls of the church. Yet, like I said, if the state told them the answer to COVID was to push a peanut against traffic in the middle of the freeway, I dare say many of them would try. So this is a time where we have to start stepping up. We have to reach people in a different way. Words are not going to be enough. Works is where it matters. Extending our hand to others is one thing, but extending grace in ways of works is yet another, and it is the foundation of our faith. And it gets lost very easily. And what I'm reminded of a lot, and it's a powerful statement, and it's whether it doesn't matter whether, and I mean this truly, what I'm going to say, it sounds a bit blasphemous, but it's not. I understand very clearly that Christ's walk was intended and his sacrifice was part of what God knew would happen. But what still stuns me is the number of people that sat there and just watched. It always strikes me. Of those that just sat and watched. Where was the uprising? Where was the challenging? Where was the attempt to protect him? There were more of them. And there were more people than there were guards. But it's the fear again. The fear of death. The fear of pain. The fear of so many things. And yet, this piece here is so important because Christ took all the pain and people watched. It's such an amazing statement to the core of what humanity is, and it's not a good reflection. We have no room for that. When we hear the stories, and it's the film is what made it most famous, but the story is real, at least from what we understand, of the Spartans 300. That is an incredible story of 300 that stood against the Persians' army. And they stood there with a will and a commitment, a conviction to not letting them pass. And in the end, all but one died. And the only reason the one didn't die is he was sent back to tell the story. Christ was a warrior. He endured an incredible level of pain while others watched. Afraid of the guards, afraid of all things. Imagine in a different vein had all of those that had followed Christ charged in and surrounded him. The result may have been the same, but the story would have been completely different. It would have spoken to heroism. It would have spoken to defiance of the rules, not obedience to tyranny. And here we are, obedience to tyranny. And worse than that, we have churches all across this country encouraging obedience to tyranny. This is a weekend, probably more than ever, in my reflection of things, where Christ's defiance of everyone is so powerful. It was his walk that was itself defiant. When they tried to break him, he never broke. When they tried to force him to concede, he never gave. When they tried to belittle him and try to mock him because he wasn't healing himself, he never wavered. He kept walking. That's defiance. And in the end, he won. And all of those around him that mocked him lost. And it wasn't a point of winning or losing, but it was a point of leading humanity to another direction, to show them a way and to offer them something. Follow me, and I will give you eternal life. And it is through me that you will see, reach the Father. Continue with James 2:18. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. How do we expect others to listen to us and to believe us when they worship a god of science that itself is no longer science? It's just a temple of belief. How else can they find another way when all we do is challenge their god? Think about this for a minute. If someone comes to you and says Christ is a fool, Christ is false, you know very well you'll never listen. When we go to them, it's the same type of thing. It's not that they're right. It's that their belief in their temple, their belief in their Savior is now embedded in an injection that is saving them. They have embraced the God of technology. They have embraced the God of science. And their temple, quite literally, sits now in a syringe and a needle. If we are going to reach them, we have to reach them through works. And works is the hardest part. It's not just prayer. It's physical engagement. And it's not hostile. It's simply being peaceful and loving and graceful. And it goes beyond that. Showing kindness to someone. Here's an example. Someone gets an injection and they're feeling sick. Most everybody of elder age that gets the second injection goes through approximately 2 days of feeling deeply sick. So why not deliver them something like cookies, soup, something like that? Not because I agree with what they did, but because faith says that's what we should do. To give as those are in need. Their choice, their decision, their consequence. But we're accountable to ourselves and to God for how we walk, not influenced by them. Every one of us has issues. It's following any believer in Christ has issues with this injection. And it comes in varieties of forms. Perhaps it's a form of fear. Perhaps it's a form of worry of what's going to happen. Perhaps it's a form of anger and disgust. I have plenty of that. And I'm going to tell you, I constantly am struggling with this place of frustration and disgust for humanity, of walking away from God and being so weak and so willing to follow idols. And yet, and let me be clear, and yet I have to catch myself because it is not what God would want. Jesus would not approach it that way. He would speak the truth, and then if they were in pain, he would extend a hand of grace. He's not going to placate them. He's not going to try to convince them. It's their choice. But in the end of the day, he's not going to walk with judgment in his heart. They made a choice. He'll counsel. He would lead. He would talk truth. And in the end, Christ would put out his hand and offer healing if they would come to him. We're not Christ, so we can't extend a hand to heal them. But we can extend a hand on behalf of God because we are as if we are his ambassadors. And as we live through the body of Christ, it would be expected that all of us live to what Christ would himself do. We can be gracious. We can be kind. We can show a discipline of unwavering commitment to our walk in life. Not a one of anger, but one of purity and just simple confidence in where we are. We don't have to get into a tit-for-tat argument about whether that mRNA that's injected into them, made by CRISPR technology, is going to modify their genes, which is it is doing. That's a knowledge that we can guide them to. It's a knowledge that we possess. And you'll find it, quite frankly, that most of the people that have taken the injection are very well aware of these other arguments. They're aware of them. They've chosen to ignore them. And that's the big piece. They will deny or they will circumvent, but you'll see it when it comes out. If you're talking to them, when they flash with anger, when they try to argue back with you, even when you don't want it. But that's when we extend a hand of grace. Simply tell them you'll pray for them, that you wish them the best, because we do. We don't want to see this thing destroy people. It's a horrible idea what they're doing, but that isn't for us to judge. That decision that they made is between them and God. And our walk has to be detached from that decision. See, this is the difference between, say, the disciples and where all of us often fall. Or maybe just say the difference between Christ and where all of us often fall. Because we get wrapped up into the emotions of them taking it, but that's not for us to do. And it comes back to just simple works. As I'm sitting there today and I'm pulling apart seedlings, and when I do my seedlings, I like to start everything from seed. So I'll usually put two or three seeds in a small starter cup. And that naturally, sometimes you get one, sometimes you get all three. This year, I'm happening to get every seed, and nearly every seed is sprouting, which is amazing. Has a lot to do with the source of the seeds, a very, very good company in Southern Oregon called Siskiyou Seed Company. Their quality is amazing. And so many of the seeds, because of the way they sprout up, will then their roots, very tender and very delicate roots, will intertwine in a relatively dense, or I should say thick, because it's not really dense. It's a fairly loose tilth potting soil, but it's the roots are extremely delicate, as you know, with plants. And they have to be separated carefully. And you have to take the time to break the soil away and to gently tap it until eventually the roots separate and they pull apart and you end up with two freed seedlings. But that intertwining is very much how many people are right now. They're intertwined with a narrative that has locked them in so deeply that when we try to approach them, too often we approach them with the physicality of trying to tear them away. If I do that with a seedling, I rip the roots from one and damage the roots on the other, and likely I will end up with two dead plants. In order to save them both, you have to treat them both with the same mutual approach. Delicacy, slightly, tap. And the metaphor is profound because we're tapping at the door. We're not knocking at the door or slamming at the door. We have to be gentle, but we have to be persistent, because that's the difference. Is when you're gentle with the seeds, seedlings, it doesn't mean you're going to be successful. You have to be persistent with a subtle touch until finally the roots disengage. And the roots aren't actually knotted. They appear to be, but they're not. They're just tied closely together. And when you finally are able to pull them apart, you end up with two very beautiful small plants that are able now to be gently put into their own place to grow freely. And then each one of them is on their own path. See, this is what we're trying to do with so many that are wrapped and round in a narrative that has woven them together and bound them in lies. And as we try to pull that and separate that and speak truth, it's going to take the works that we do, not just the words or the prayers of faith. We have to show a different way. And that showing is the actions and works that we do. Maybe it's a conversation, and it's an actual conversation that shows grace and temperance, doesn't try to engage with a flood of statistics or data, but instead presents just a calm approach to your decision. You're comfortable with that, and you let them be. No judgment. Perhaps part of that is to find somebody in a way to reach out. Your neighbors bragged about the injection. They know very well you're not. That's okay. Doesn't prevent you from making a batch of cookies and stopping by and saying, "Hey, neighbor, these are for you." Simply because I was praying and I felt I was compelled to just share something with you. If you ever need anything, I'm here. We have to be bigger than the problem. And the problem is massive, and it's on a global scale, and it's moving. But the one thing I can say that is so important is those in power are panicked. They're panicked because they're now going on every single level to try to force people by persuasion to take this injection. The Chinese are so panicked in a country that's a true totalitarian regime that they're forcing people to take it. The panic is real. The plandemic is false. But the panic is real. And when you see something like that, that's opportunity. So let us be inspired by Christ on this weekend in particular as we reflect on his sacrifice and his rising. Let us be inspired by all that he did in never bending, in always pressing in establishing a path of commitment and conviction that should resonate with all of us, that this path that we walk is brutal. Life is tough. But we've had the greatest example in human history. And it should be there for all of us to be inspired and to never give in. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this weekend in remembrance of the sacrifice of your Son and the rising of him that followed. Let us awaken to the strength that he's given us and the strength that he showed us in what seemed a time when all things were against him. Lord, let us not be just the watchers. Give us strength to put works to our faith, to stand boldly against this tyranny, to be reminded by the many that did nothing but watched him pass. And now to make the choice that we will stand boldly and not be passive. We will not be idle on the side, but instead we'll be bold in your name, engaging our faith with works to truly transform this world and to awaken the many that still walk in the control of the matrix of thought and the deceptions and lies that are around all of us every day. Let us be the light that guides the many, that gives them hope, or at least shows them a way where they can decide the path they wish to take, and in hopes and through prayer, may they find their way back to you. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. This world will change because of us, not because of somebody else. This world will transform because of us and the decisions that we make and the paths that we choose to walk, not because of somebody else. And no matter what befalls, it is going to take us to be vigilant at every step to make a decision into the way that we want. Now, in some closing thoughts, and it's right along these lines. President Trump has called for the Patriots to boycott the companies that are supporting the Major League Baseball. And we should read through every one, and we should do everything we can to boycott every one of those. It won't be a 100% deal because some things are unavoidable. But it means to be as full and as complete as possible. And that means that we will have to do without certain things. Or we have to find different avenues to get them. Or we have to create them ourselves. Then let's do that. That's the work of faith. And that's where we walk and put faith with works. We start to make the commitment to doing something, not just to, oh, I'm going to do without, for example. That's the first step. Now let's innovate and revive and provide something else. And maybe it just is something you do in your house to share with fellow patriots. That's okay. But this country was won ultimately by boycotts. And it is time for us to have that commitment in our own part. And that commitment doesn't just go to choosing a product, it's choosing a path. And it's a path of truth, and it's a path of faith, and it's achieved by the works that we do. We are defining a future each day and each moment. And right now, everything that we do, including everything that we buy, is a decision that we are making. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent, never, ever give in. Always press into the fight. This is when the fight gets real. And we have to lead that fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And the more that we press into God, the more that we will have everything that we need to accomplish this fight. And God knows that he'll win. Let's be there with him. I'll see you in the morning, Easter morning at 5 a.m. I look forward to seeing you all. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, good night, happy Easter, and out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now. Sets down over the hill where the lost got found, reaching through somehow. Oh, you're an island when the world is too loud. When the seasons change, I know the space between us will stay the same. Resting on this faith, when your soul answers calls far away, safe place to hide from the rain.